I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey friends, I'm Sharon McMahon, host of Here's Where It Gets Interesting. Each week, I speak with authors, experts, and thought leaders on everything from American history and democracy to how to be a better person on the internet. And don't miss my extremely popular docuseries, which educate you on things you never learned in history class. Follow and listen to Here's Where It Gets Interesting on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
8:03 in the a.m.
Go ahead and finish your conversation. The good, real quick
the bad, the ugly. Ed Norris, what's good?
Ravens offense with Lamar back. Once he's back, as Mark Andrews said, with number 8 leading the way, we're a dangerous team. And they are. They're a dangerous team. They can do anything. They had no rushing touchdowns last time. You know why? They didn't need him. He threw for 4 touchdowns. A quarter of a passer rating of 143, 4 touchdown passes. Were they all those tight ends?
Yeah. Bateman,
that's right. Yeah, I mean, he made great use of the tight ends. Okaler had one. Andrews had 2.
And Likely had a 35-yard completion.
Yeah, 35-yard completion. I mean, it was just great watching this because once that defense is rolling like this, they're really formidable. So I'm just happy to see they're back. I'm happy Lamar's back. And I like everything he's done. Taking the games out of the locker room, taking a leadership role on the team, and then doing the same on the field. I mean, he's really filled into that role as the leader of this team.
And because he's the leader, that's why he wouldn't tap out and not play the rest of the year because they're 1-5. No. Mike Preston, what's bad?
Bad was the call when he threw the pass to Waddle. Was it 36 yards down to the Ravens 7, and they said he was tripping the running back.
Okay. When Ollie Gordon fell and his coach screamed at him on the sideline, he's like, "What are you yelling at me for? I didn't do anything."
Yeah, I mean, the guy just fell down. I mean, and he didn't stick his leg out. He didn't try to leg whip him.
How do you get
that
wrong?
He just fell down.
How do you get that wrong, though?
I don't know. I don't know.
And why not?
Why not fix it?
Why didn't the eye in the sky come in on that one?
They're not supposed to change penalties and things like that.
But Jeremy, you're right. But come on.
It's ridiculous.
If the eye in the sky was ever in need, that's when the eye in the sky is needed.
I don't know how many people know this, but the NFL had changed the copyright of them, and basically it's no longer sports; it's entertainment, like wrestling. They're under that umbrella.
Of course.
Sports entertainment.
That eliminates anybody suing them for any of this nonsense that goes on with player props.
We talked about that about a year ago.
It doesn't mean that they're fixing games, but that does kind of wash their hands if some of the players do something wrong.
So, man, let me tell you something. When you saw that play, man, I had people texting me saying, the fix is in. People believe that because they associate.
What was the score when that play happened?
What was only
21-6?
They were only up by whatever 8? Points at halftime.
8. Okay,
yeah. So it was still in contention. The game was still close.
Well, I know I'm getting to my part, but you're finishing up.
It was like 12 minutes left in the before the half. It was just a terrible call.
I'm not saying that they're causing games to be won and lost and all that. It does have an impact. There's so many things that can go on in a game. And I know we beat up the officials all the time, but it's been bad.
It's been bad.
It's been bad
for a couple of years. Bad. And they impact games tremendously. It's just, I hate that saying, don't let the referees decide the game. Nonsense. Especially when you get to later in the season, the postseason, when everybody's good. It's okay now because you can make up for bad calls. But when you're playing the Bills and the Chiefs and the Lions, the referee can absolutely turn the course of the game.
Yeah.
And we've seen it, and it's just they've got to get their act together. And I don't know why you can't rectify penalties.
That's what I'm about to say. I know Jeremy's right.
He's right
about the policy and the eye in the sky.
But the policy sucks.
It sucks, absolutely. Yeah. So we all the officials, New York, sat around and watched that play replay and saw that it was wrong and said, based on the rules, we can't change it. We know it's wrong.
I mean, I may not be right. So the way it goes is they can't call down and say that should have been a penalty, that should have been something. But if they throw something, I believe they can call down and say,
why not?
You need to pick that up.
Saw it. Why would you not?
They do it all the time.
Ridiculous.
Whether we realize it or not. Like, they'll tell you every once in a while, replay assist helped out. But then you'll see him huddle up, and then all of a sudden they'll start moving the ball, and you're like, why is that? Where are we going?
Forget about fandom. For business sake right now, it's good for Ravens to win with all of us in this room. Mm-hmm. Business sake is good for them to win. And we're saying that may have been one of the worst calls in a couple of weeks.
Yes.
The guy fell on his face. It gets called for tripping. What is that, you know, Eddie Murphy movie? What? He got beat up. Will you arrest me for jaywalking?
Yeah.
He got thrown out of the window. What's ugly, Jeremy?
I mean, it's the Dolphins. Like, any way you slice this, and look, I love Mike McDaniel, but that's just an absolute train wreck.
It is.
And even with ownership saying that they won't get rid of him because they don't, I mean, it's going to if it's not happening now, you guys are doing it at the end of the year, unless this is some financial thing. Because these players aren't playing for him, and it's just abysmal. Like, they, with all due respect to the Ravens and winning the game and everything, Miami had every opportunity to be in that game. They drove five times into the red zone, turned it over twice, missed a field goal once, and then the other two times kicked field goals. And then you had that play happen. There were just so many plays on the field that they left out there. I don't understand the decision-making, but it's just a really bad team. And you know what's even uglier than that? How the hell did the Falcons get shut out by this team? Yeah. How?
Yeah. Seriously. That's why I said, I think it was yesterday. I have no idea who the Falcons are.
The Falcons don't even know who they are.
And the Falcons were at home. That's where they've actually played well.
They didn't have their quarterback, right? Yeah. Their starting quarterback.
Kirk Cousins. Yeah, Michael Penix Jr. is supposed to be back this week.
Let's go to Kevin in Ellicott City. What's up, Kevin? Kevin. What is going on today? We're not getting people.
I think he's on hold with Dallas.
Let's go to Johnny and Dundalk. Johnny.
Good morning, fellas.
Good morning, Johnny.
Did that penalty, man, does that swing the game if that thing don't get called?
I think it does.
The Ravens' defense exposed. Like, they might actually go out and get a pass rusher if that penalty is not given. You know what I'm saying? Because he had plenty of time in the pocket.
Yes, he did.
Jeremy, I got a quick joke for you.
Yeah.
Real quick.
All right.
Why do they recommend women wear tampons when they skydive?
Mm. Go ahead.
Yo, so they don't whistle on the way down. Y'all have a
I'm ready for the call about that one.
Whistle while you work. Any of you guys been skydiving? Well, anybody besides Rob been skydiving? Because he ain't getting a no damn.
Why would you say I wouldn't skydive?
Come on, man.
What are you saying?
If I find you dead at the bottom of some ravine falling from a plane,
investigate.
You would push.
Bane would be the suspect.
Investigate. Who would be the suspect?
What makes you think you're
Bane? Bane. 410-583-1057 is the number. Coach's Corner at 8:30, but on the other side, we're giving out game balls on the Fan.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey friends, I'm Sharon McMahon, host of Here's Where It Gets Interesting. Each week, I speak with authors, experts, and thought leaders on everything from American history and democracy to how to be a better person on the internet. And don't miss my extremely popular docuseries, which educate you on things you never learned in history class. Follow and listen to Here's Where It Gets Interesting on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is one of the few times, Ed, that Jeremy is giving them and not receiving them.
I always get game balls.
Balls.
Player of the game.
Yeah, I know. Mm-hmm. Who gets yours today?
You get my balls today. Game ball to Rob. No. My game ball goes to the redheaded, scary kid from Children of the Corn, Malachi. That's the only. Every time I hear that name, that's all I think about is the goofy-looking kid from Children of the Corn. Malachi Starks was all over the place last night.
It's actually Malachi.
Oh, my. Excuse me. You know what? When you're right, you're right. And you're right. Malachi Starks is. Who called him that on the air, by the way?
Was it a caller?
Was it Rashawn?
Oh, no, it was a different caller. He did it. He called him three different times and kept calling him Malachi.
Malachi. Well, Malachi Starks out there making plays, had the pick. It was kind of the first time really seeing him. Does that make, like,
yes.
You're watching the
that
game,
was his introduction.
He kind of, there were spots where he kind of showed out, right. And you saw him on screen going, okay, I see it, but he gets my game ball.
Ed Norris.
I'm going to do something I rarely do, and that's give it to a quarterback, but this guy is the best player.
Tua?
In the world. It's Lamar Jackson. He's the best football player in the NFL. I don't care what anybody says. And he showed out yesterday. He really did. He had a great day. Led the team. 4 touchdown passes. It's almost 80% completion rate. That's for all the people that I don't to this day understand how people still don't think he's a passer. And they'll call the show and say, yeah, well, you know, I'd still like to see. Yeah, let's have Cooper Rush get out there. Yeah,
you understand it because that was their preconceived notion of him, and they can't stay away from it.
It really pisses me off, though. 19 of 23, that's almost 79%. Yeah, it's incredible. 143.2 passer rating, 4 touchdowns, just, you know, and does everything right, man. He definitely gets my game ball for sure.
Mine was offensive game plan. I think I look at it a little bit different than everybody else. People are saying it was too vanilla. It's a Thursday road game. You go out there, you do what you have to do against the Miami Dolphins. Why am I throwing everything at a team that has nothing for me?
You don't know.
He doesn't know.
Why am I going out there and showing all these bells and whistles when all I need is a hammer? That's all I need for this game. You know what I mean? I'll do those other things when those other things are required. We won 28-6, and we're complaining that our game plan was too vanilla. You went out there to have flea flickers and bubble screens and all these other plays that you're showing everybody when all you have to do against the Dolphins is punch them in the mouth and go home on a Thursday night on the road. My game ball, offensive game plan. Mike Preston.
Zay Flowers. 5 passes, 5 catches for 64 yards. Had that 39-yard down the right sideline. Watching this guy play is a treat. I mean, he can do some things and change speed and directions as well as any receiver in the NFL. So I like watching him play.
By the way, when Joe responded with that last night on the text,
that was funny.
I already had a couple of drinks. And he hits. I'm pulling my heart out on my responses. And he says, "You don't know Rob." All right.
Yep.
You know, I don't know. Let's go to Trippy in Baltimore. What's
Hello?
Up, Trippy?
Hey, what's up, Ada? Jeremy?
What's happening?
Yeah, man. Rob, you know, it ain't no smoke with you, Rob, man. But I appreciate you sending me no picture and I ain't get no invite last night. I'm stuck in the house here yelling at the TV lonely. You feel me?
He was playing Janet Jackson, lonely and brokenhearted. No. See, hold up. Wait a minute. You throw it out there, now it's got to return to you. That was unplanned, unscripted.
He was talking about it yesterday morning.
They didn't hit me.
Because it was unplanned, unscripted. If it was scripted.
Hey, it's all good, man. Watch the Ravens game a little sober yesterday.
His homie wasn't even there. You know it was unplanned if his homie wasn't there.
Trippy, you gotta understand, like Rashawn said he wasn't hanging out with you anymore. So when Rob called him, he said, don't call Trippy. So blame Rashawn.
I mean, you know, hey, John, you know, I'm a West Side person, man. You know, they the East Side. You know, Rashawn, Asset, Hawford County. You know, that's like 45 minutes.
You know what? Screw you. You go out with Rashawn. I'll hang out with Trippy.
You ain't going to West Baltimore.
I'm from West Baltimore.
Different West Baltimore.
West of Baltimore. That's what
about last night, though, man. Everybody looked good. Like, the defense, man, they flowed to the ball. Still was missing tackles, though, but I like what I see. You can tell they motivated. Like, I just hope I know EDC probably won't make the call because, to be honest with you, we still need some type of pass rush because, woo, boy, I tell you. But with Kyle Hamilton playing in that box and Rogue playing up a little bit and that boy number 12 doing his thing. And also, hey, Zach, I know you're listening to the show right now. Hey, Zach, man, stop making them cornerbacks play too much. See, now that's what I got to get on Zach about, man. The cornerbacks playing back too much. The offensive line still was a little shaky. Lamar, you could tell he was a little rusty a little bit in the first half, but the second half he started, like, to come along for real. Hey, we got a little break going on, y'all. We got the Vikings up next. Oh, we 2-0. We got 9 more to go. We 2-0. Hello?
Hello.
9 more to go. Yes, sir. Hey, y'all enjoy y'all weekend, man.
You too.
Hey, I think we ought to start a new segment.
What's that?
Trippy's report card.
Hey.
I mean, he just went straight through the whole thing. And all he had to do was give a letter, like A, B, C. Good job, Trippy.
Before every grade. I'm going to be real with you about this one, right? I'm going to be real with you. I love Trippy.
Let's go to Kevin in Ellicott City. What's up, Kevin?
Morning, fellas. How y'all doing?
Doing well. How are you, man?
Doing great, man. Great game last night. I think my game ball and my best score would go to Coach Zach Gore for rallying the troops.
Yep.
Bringing that painful defense to those bums in Miami. A-plus, Coach Gore. Have a great weekend.
You got to tip your hat to him. I agree. I mean, I've been critical of him last night. Again, looked like that defense came out with a plan. Let's go to Dante, who was in White Marsh. What's up, Dante?
What's going on, guys?
No, man. Fine, man. What's going on with you?
Hey, look, last time I called, right, I was telling my buddy about this. I told you I was Jehovah's Witness, and you're going to say, hey, I ain't going to be home Saturday, Dante. Man, I was busting out laughing. It was right at the 100. Oh, yeah, he got me. But anyway, man, I want to say, Zach Orr, that defensive unit, they get flowers for me, man, because they set the tone early. That fumble, that forced fumble that we had, it was not critical, but it set the tone. And they were able to think clearly through the whole entire game, offense and defense, and we got to see everybody compliment each other. You guys have a wonderful weekend, man. Love your show, man.
Thank you.
You too. Give me a copy of that Watchtower, buddy. You ever been at the gas station and start handing them out to you?
Yeah. I don't like that phrase, give flowers.
Why?
It's just give flowers. Jeremy, I'm going to give you a flower. I can give you a flower.
Give me a flower.
I'll give you props.
I'll smell it and tell you thank you.
I'll give you props.
Foot up the butt. That's about what you get. He ain't giving no flowers.
A whole foot? You got to work up to that, man.
That's the game, brother. Deep.
It's got a little awkward.
I get too lightheaded, man.
Got a little awkward.
It's a whole foot.
Tony, look, they gave up 300 and almost 340 yards of offense.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're getting better, but
it feels like the bend don't break, doesn't it? Like, again, it's going to matter. I think they're going to be giving up yardage throughout. Are they getting threes or seven at the end of the day?
I think they've got a couple of teams on the schedule that know how to finish. That's the problem.
Will be a major problem.
Going back to the original conversation, all wins aren't created equally. You know what I mean? You got, if Chicago came in here, and it was more about me not believing in Chicago than me believing in the Ravens. When you have New England coming in here, I believe in the New England Patriots a little bit more than Chicago. But all wins aren't created equally. You have some of those teams coming here. You been, they will break you.
Yes.
Break you.
I knew you were going to do
that. Humble you and break you.
Why did I know that was coming? 410-583-1057 is the number. AFC North report at 845, but on the other side, coaches report up next on The Fan. John Harbaugh spoke after the Ravens 28-6 win, said he was proud of Lamar and the offense.
I said, it's been a long journey, man. It's been a hard road, you know. Not just the 30 days, but even before that, you know. And I'm proud of him. I'm proud of the way he came out and played, you know. And proud of the way Tyler played last week. Both those two guys played well. I think T. Martin deserves a lot of credit. You know, he did a great job with those guys and Monk and the offensive coaches. I thought the game plan, what we've done with the offense the last 2 weeks has been really, really, really good. Really, really excellent.
They were very good. They were excellent last night, I thought. Again, everybody keeps saying vanilla, Ed. I thought they were as dynamic as they needed to be. They didn't need to be dynamic. Weren't. I have no idea.
I mean, it's just they put an ass whooping on.
Are you not entertained? I guess they're not.
You don't know, Rob.
You beat the team by 22 points if people aren't happy.
It's not like the defense scored. I mean, you know?
Yeah, no. We really weren't entertained until the second half. I mean, the entertainment in the first half was pretty poor.
They looked like a bunch of dudes looking for a light switch. They had no idea what they were doing. They had 22 offensive plays in the first half. They were terrible. Yes.
Yeah, they weren't very good in the first half. So it wasn't entertaining.
But were they not very good in the first half because they were too vanilla?
To a degree.
Some of it was, but for the most part, they just weren't entertaining. It wasn't. And Miami was terrible. They were really bad.
They suck.
Yeah. Miami?
Oh,
they do.
Ugh.
It's a terrible. John Harbaugh spoke about his defensive team.
We had talked about the ball assaults, we call it. We hadn't had enough of them. We've been trying, but we couldn't get the ball. And to get the three today, first time I think we've gotten multiple turnovers probably in a game, that was really big. And to see the way we did it, I mean, we had two guys that caused fumbles and recovered the fumbles. And then to throw the ball deep down the field, Malachi to make that play deep, that's why we drafted him, you know, because that's what he does. And for him to make that play was really a way to close the game out for sure.
Yeah, I thought it was. I thought you said it earlier, Jeremy. He even got you a game ball. Malachi Starks, I thought, played the best game of his rookie year.
Yeah, I mean, again, to me, it's the first time where he jumped out to me in certain plays, and I even asked it. I think what was it last week or the week before when we were talking about this team and drafting Malachi Starks, was that the right play? Have you guys seen enough from him yet to say that he's a good player? We were wondering who was out of position at the beginning of the year and what guys were kind of freelancing. And some of that's been leaked out and you kind of have an idea of some of the players, but it's a rookie that was thrust in and you have everything going awry. It's like, how do you expect this guy to figure it out when the rest of the defense is trash?
Now, Joe said they looked like a bunch of guys looking for the light switch in the first half. John Harbaugh talked about his team in the second half.
Yeah, I think we just didn't get backed up. You know, we were backed up a little bit on the chains a couple times. We got backed up in field position once or twice. Between the second quarter and the third quarter, Lamar had the big scramble that got us out of trouble there. I think on the first drive, I think it was, and that was probably the key play of the whole game, probably. You know, because if not, you're back and you're kind of in that second quarter mode still, and that's what Lamar can do, and that's what he did. Lamar had a great game. I mean, four touchdown passes.
Yeah, I thought he had a great game as well. No one's going to deny that, Ed Norris.
No, of course not. Throw four touchdown passes and no picks. I mean, yeah, it's a pretty damn good game. So I don't know what else to say about him. He's a game changer. I'm going with Mark Andrews' quote.
Do we all kind of agree we're still not going to find out what you have as a team for another few weeks? Because of the opponents you're playing.
Right. Like
you're going to second guess things.
I don't think you'll find out until January. I think you'll play those level teams then.
Yeah. And it ain't even second guessing. It's just the caliber of competition you're playing against. It's not very good.
Yeah, I mean, you play who's on your schedule, but when you start off 1-5, and the reason people like you is because your schedule's weak, did you figure things out? I think they figured some things out, and hopefully along the way they figure out more playing inferior opponents, but you can't have a hiccup against one of these teams.
Well, that's the problem. You know, the Browns always win games they're not supposed to.
Yes.
Every year. They suck, and they win games
like the Packers
like,
this year.
Yeah. I mean, you just don't know. And don't let down against the Jets because they were just god awful.
But tell us more about them, Ed.
They're terrible.
Oh, okay.
They are. They're terrible. But it's just it's those teams that almost scare me more than the good ones.
I give credit to the coaching staff now because the team is doing what they're supposed to do. However, Jeremy, I still say I'm waiting for the time that they beat a team that they weren't that is as talented as they are. In January.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they beat all the teams that are less talented than them. They beat the Houston Texans last year in the playoffs. They beat the Steelers last year in the playoffs. The year before last, the Texans. They beat those teams. But it comes down to coaching. When talent is across the board equal, it comes down to coaching. And to me, that's what I want to see in Mike Preston. I'm not worried. Right now, they're beating these teams because they're more talented.
Yep.
And you're correct. And they're supposed to beat them. And you win the turnovers because the teams are bad. But I'm with you. We won't find out until Green Bay and maybe that Pittsburgh game if it means something at the end. And then you go into the postseason.
If after that Green Bay game, Harbaugh says that's a great question, I'll know that it was a good game for the Ravens. Because that means they won. The only great questions get asked when they win.
Are you Halloween as a duck today?
Why?
Great question.
Great question. Hey, leave me alone. I'm not twying here.
Harbaugh talked about his safety Gilman last night.
Well, it was to your point. It was a great play. I mean, that play got him stopped. I mean, didn't feel like we were stopping him at that point. That's what I'm saying. They're hard to defend, and you got to do that. You got to come up with some plays. And there he was. He came up with a play. And guys got to come up with plays, right, Teddy? Sure. I mean, guys got to make plays, and he makes a play. So that, I think, that's part of it because he really is that kind of a player. But also, the fact that he's, and you probably say this, Teddy, he's so aware. He understands the defense so well. He's so darn smart. He makes a lot of calls and adjustments. He kind of calms everything down out there.
Go to Teddy for the 1-2 checkup. That's what you need to do. Like, that's another thing he does when a player's standing there. Hey, ain't that right? He needs somebody to co-sign for him. Teddy, tell him.
Yes, coach. Yes, sir. Don't want to wind up in that doghouse, sir.
No, I'm kidding.
And he's a rookie, so you know he's going to say yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yes.
Who was up there with him? Was it Keaton Mitchell the last game?
Huntley.
Huntley, that's right, yeah. Ain't that right?
Yeah, like, you know, Tyler, the call we had?
Yeah, it was a great call. I'm sorry. I'm being unfair. But it's the same thing after. Like after.
Are you being unfair?
No, I'm okay, not. I mean, but I'm saying it too much.
Okay, are you being accurate?
Yes.
Okay, that's all we care for. Lamar Jackson had four touchdown passes last night. Three of them were to tight ends. He praised his tight ends after the game.
Yeah, I think that's a great point, Jonas. I mean, to see those guys come alive, and he knew they were there. Just a matter of getting them the ball. And we were able to get him the ball and play action a number of times behind the linebackers, which was big for us. All three of those guys, you know. And Charlie at the end, and then Isaiah had the big third down conversion. So, you know, that we want to be able to spread it around and go to everybody. And, you know, I think that's where we want to be.
John Harbaugh hates the show.
He has to if he listens.
He hates the show.
Got to. He's probably texting Ed going, Ed, who are these two?
I promise you that. With?
And tell Preston to screw off, too. I mean, but like, look,
that's a great question, Jeremy.
Yeah, we've been seeing this for how long now? Like, I'm not even going to watch the Vikings game. I'm just going to come in and listen to the post-game press conference, and I'll tell you exactly how it went.
That's a good point, Jeremy.
That's a great play, man. That's a good, you know what? We had this great play call design, and that's a great question, Jonas. Let me go. It doesn't matter who's out there. You're asking great questions after a win.
Baltimore media is the best. We won 28-6.
Game balls, coach?
You guys are outside noise when we lose. But you're part of us. You're rowing in the same direction when we win.
Damn PR department.
Oh, yeah. I'm surprised he didn't say Chad's name. Chad, didn't we do...
Chad, wasn't that a good question he asked after we won?
Yeah.
Chad, you forgot to turn in the injury report last week.
Hey, Harbaugh, where'd you get that bus from? Where are you taking it? Chad, just stand there in the road.
Fan reaction at 9 o'clock, but on the other side, two other AFC North teams are in action this weekend. We'll preview it up next on The Fan.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey friends, I'm Sharon McMahon, host of Here's Where It Gets Interesting. Each week, I speak with authors, experts, and thought leaders on everything from American history and democracy to how to be a better person on the internet. And don't miss my extremely popular docuseries, which educate you on things you never learned in history class. Follow and listen to Here's Where It Gets Interesting on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show, Monday morning quarterback, Ravens. Three AFC teams, AFC North teams, play on week 9. Ravens started it off last night with a 28-6 win over the Miami Dolphins in Miami. Ravens are now 3-5 on the year. The Cincinnati Bengals were 3-5 already. They've yet to have their bye week. They take on the Chicago Bears at 1 o'clock on Sunday. Ed, your thoughts on this football game?
I think Chicago wins. Even though Cincinnati's home, and I think Flacco is probably a better option than they've had, that's just a terrible defense.
Is it certain that he's playing Sunday?
Let me look. I'll get you an injury report and see what they're saying right now. It's still maybe pretty vague, but I'll get you
one. The defense is just so god-awful.
Bengals are 2.5-point dogs, home dogs, dude.
Yeah, they are. The over-under is almost 52, 51.5.
Yeah.
And I guarantee that's because the Cincinnati defense is just terrible.
So Joe was limited at practice yesterday,
uh-huh.
Which they're saying he's 50-50. I guess it's a AC. It's his AC. 50-50? It's an AC joint. So, that's obviously.
He's quarterbacked enough to where if he's limited action and a game time decision on Sunday, he knows what to do.
Well, I know what Jamar Chase is telling him. Throw it with the other hand, because you throw it to me every time you have the damn ball. You know what his prop bet is for receptions? It's like 9.5 or 8.5.
Does that change if Flacco doesn't play?
Yes. Oh, yeah. I mean, it'll drop like 2. Like, he still gets peppered with targets. He's the best receiver in football. It's like he doesn't have a Randy ratio, but he has a Randy ratio if you go back to the Moss days. Remember when, who was that, Mike Tice? He's like, Randy ratio, we're going to throw him the ball 50% of the time. Great.
Your thoughts on this game?
I think this game in specific, like, Chicago to me is the better team. The fact that Joe Flacco is banged up, their defense is horrendous. Not that Chicago's been better. I'd have to look and see what Chicago's cornerbacks look like. But I don't think they're going to be able to stop the run. I think Caleb Williams runs the ball. I feel like DeAndre Swift, who's going to play in this game, feel like he could have a good day. And he can have it kind of like HN, where it's like, yeah, I got you 70 yards receiving and 30 yards rushing, or vice versa, the other way around. And I don't know that they have an answer for Rome in the passing game. I like the Bears here.
Mike, Bears, Bengals, we like.
Neither team.
It's our pick segment.
It's another one of these games that, I don't know, it just doesn't have any interest, no intrigue to it. I would take the Bengals just because they can score a lot of points. Chicago, it depends on the secondary and if those two guys start in the back end. But the key for the Bears have always been to get those turnovers, and they forced, like, what, 14 in the four wins they had before they played the Ravens. And they haven't played up to that point again. So I would take the Bengals.
Mike, your Brewster's Million, none of the above. Jeremy, the Steelers are 3-point dogs at home against the Colts. Your thoughts?
So I hate this game. I hate it with a passion from a gambling standpoint, just from everything. I've been saying all year long, I think the Steelers are a bad football team. They found ways to win. There's something missing with this team. It makes me feel like Georgia football. Something felt like it was missing, or feels like it's missing. You see this from time to time. And I've been saying this since the beginning of the year when they had that first game against the Jets. I'm going, you don't let that team move up and down the field on you like that. And then you watch them again going, what is that? You've got arguably the best team in the AFC right now in the Colts, who have just been stacking W after W coming in. Jonathan Taylor running the football down everybody's throat. He's got three games with three touchdowns this year. And I can't get past in my mind from the gambling side of it. It's back-to-back games with Mike Tomlin as an underdog. How often does he lose back-to-back games as an underdog at home? It just doesn't happen. And so if you force me to pick, I'm going to tell you the Colts, but the gambler in me wants to take the Steelers, even though I don't feel comfortable with it.
They're going to get annihilated. They're getting annihilated this Sunday, seriously. The Colts are the best.
The Colts are annihilated.
What?
The Colts are doing the annihilating.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I agree with Ed.
Yeah.
Steelers are really bad.
They're not good.
It's a 3-point spread.
The Colts scored more points than anybody in the league. They have more yards than anybody in the league.
You think this is the beginning of the end for the Steelers?
Yeah, 100%. If this was a horse race, this is where Ravens start to make the move on the pole.
Yeah, it's about time to fold.
Trust me, you were on the pole earlier than that. Hey, sorry, Ed. With this game, though, like, if it does happen where the Steelers win, does it change your mind about them? Or is this like a...
If
the Steelers win.
No.
You still feel like they're...
To me, it's the NFL. They're home.
Okay.
If they go to Indianapolis and win, then it may change my mind.
Right.
But at home?
Right.
No. Yeah. They would have to run the Colts out the building to change my mind.
And that's not happening.
It's not going to happen.
They're the worst first place team in the NFL.
The Colts?
Steelers.
No, Steelers.
Why does he bother you? What is the deal?
I don't know,
right,
but
now?
I'll tell you, he's about to get this right in the...
Hey, man. My dad used to do that as a kid with a lit cigarette at the back end of it. Thanks.
Chris in Baltimore. What's up, Chris?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Doing well. How are you, man? I had to get your call in, man. Why is that?
Hey, so I think it was an episode of Power, right? And the guy was talking to Ghost, and he said, listen... He said, whenever you're talking morals, you're talking a poor man's language, right?
Uh-huh.
That's what the Miami Dolphins get. B-Flow is my guy. He's my college teammate, good friend of mine, all that good stuff. When the Dolphins let him go, right, see what happened to the organization afterwards, right?
It's funny. It's funny you say that, Chris, real quick. I just said to these guys a couple of breaks ago, you think Brian Flores may have been right about Tua?
But listen, I can add on to it. Think about the press conference that McDaniels did a few games ago. He said, hopefully we don't throw 10 picks, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Tua was all like, oh, Coach Flo was hard on me. He was him, and all that. No, listen, he came in there from Titletown, right? He was with the Patriots beforehand. Everybody knows the story. He had the organization. He just wasn't trying to tank and look what the
He didn't want to lose games intentionally.
Look what they turned into now. Exactly. And you know, like I said, man. I mean, best of luck to McDaniels and all that stuff. But I just think the organization, they should have kept Flo. because, like I said, he had the locker room. He had integrity. He was turning things around.
And I think what he was saying about Tua is what we come to find out. He's soft.
Yeah.
I think he's soft, man.
He was hard as water.
Hey, thanks a lot, Chris.
I wonder, usually, sometimes when coaches lose initially, they'll go to another place, and then they can see more clearly their strengths and their weaknesses. And I wonder if Flores is going to get another chance somewhere.
Well, what the defensive job he's doing right now, I think he probably will.
I don't know.
It's tough. Depends on what's out there about him.
Yeah.
You know that as well as I know that. Around the NFL, we make our picks at 9:15, but on the other side, more calls like Chris, 410-583-1057. I mean, you don't have to be Brian Flores, college teammate, but you know what I mean.
But it helps.
Yeah, Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey friends, I'm Sharon McMahon, host of Here's Where It Gets Interesting. Each week, I speak with authors, experts, and thought leaders on everything from American history and democracy to how to be a better person on the internet. And don't miss my extremely popular docuseries, which educate you on things you never learned in history class. Follow and listen to Here's Where It Gets Interesting on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.